Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Giant story all week. Division round, NFC playoffs, Vikings 49ers tomorrow from Santa Clara, California. Mike Max joins us. Mike, how you been?
Tired and a little beaten and battered for the wear, but we're still going.
Yeah, the Bay Area is quite an area. It is gigantic. You think of San Francisco and Oakland, but it is really a big metro area spread out. And I heard you on the morning news with Dave Lead today. And, you know, being in San Jose, you would think, okay, San Jose, that's a long haul. It is from San Francisco.
No, yeah, this is a Minneapolis-St. Paul, folks. This is, 45 miles and many, many more. And it's not 45 minutes either, because the traffic on 101 is always, a problem or a factor depending on what time of day. So this is not – a lot of people make the mistake. They fly to San Francisco to see the 49ers play. Then you get along. But the San Jose airport to Levi Stadium is about 10 minutes. I mean, it's right there. But you got to know to fly into San Jose. And today, some of the Viking fans started to arrive. I'm right outside. They've got an unbelievable California Viking fan club, Southern and Northern fan club, Southern in particular. That's why they had so many people at that Charger game. And they've got an unbelievable crowd from Northern California as well. So they're converging tonight, and they're having a pep fest. I'm right outside it right now. And it's not due to start because, remember, we're 2 hours earlier, so it's about 5 in the afternoon here. It's supposed to start in about 2 hours, but it's already semi-full. The feature piece is going to be Keith Millard's going to come and sign autographs, and so everybody's excited for that. But you've got a ton of purple here in California that are here to support the Vikings.
Yeah, Mike, it is amazing. You brought up Southern California, and that game out in that soccer stadium felt like a home game for the Vikings, but they've really traveled around the league. There was a big Viking contingent in Kansas City. They do travel really well.
Yeah, the Minnesota, I've gone a lot of, over the years, a lot of road games. I guess not for other teams. So I don't know how it would compare, but I compare them when I see the at U.S. Bank Stadium. And sometimes you'll see, it'll surprise you a little bit how many fans there are from another city. But the Vikings and the purple and they come from all over. So it's not just Minnesotans going to follow the Vikings. It's that the Vikings have this huge fan base that's been handed down from their days in the 70s. That's part of it. In the 70s, they were kind of established not as an original six team like in hockey, but certainly they were right there with the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Vikings and maybe the Dolphins to an extent were the teams that were winning a lot back then. And so that gets kind of handed down generation to generation. The other thing that you find when you talk to people across the country is they love purple and gold. For whatever reason, that color combination has really struck a chord with a lot of people. So when you come, you may go to, say, Detroit to watch the Vikings play, and there may be a ton of fans from Michigan and whatnot that came. They're not Minnesotans. They're just people that love the Vikings for different reasons. A lot of them got on, like I said, the wagon train back in the day, and it's never really ended, or it's been handed down to them from somebody else. But a lot of the fans that you run into on these away games are not Minnesotans, even though they're wearing Vikings purple and gold. They're from somewhere else. They just like the Vikings.
All right, Mike, let's get a big in January in particular. What's the weather like? Is it good weather in the Bay Area?
It is gorgeous today. It is a day made for football. I would make it akin today to an early October Minnesota day where it gets into the 60s and dry. Yesterday was chilly. We were live last night on the 10 o'clock news, and it was about 40 degrees outside the San Jose Sharks Arena. Today, it has been sunny, and they've got those foothill mountains that surround the city, and you look out there, and there's the sun's gleaming over it, and it's just been so comfortable. Like I said, they've got a real problem out here with housing and real estate. I saw a report this morning in San Francisco. If you want to buy a home for the medium price, which is $800,000+.
Wow. That's
the middle of the road home. You would have to save, I believe it was $3,600 a month for 5 years just for the down payment. Just for the down payment on that house. That's how long it would take you and what you'd have to save just to make the down payment.
Yeah, it is extraordinary. And, of course, the entire Bay Area, Silicon Valley, San Jose is no bargain. I mean, it's really an expensive part of the world, though.
It is. And I don't know, aside from the fact that you got these mild kind of temperatures that are always comfortable, and there's some scenery with the ocean and all that, but it seems to me that they got a whole lot more problems than they got assets right now. If I'm a person living out here, all things being equal, I just don't see any reason you'd want to live out here when you could live a lot more affordable somewhere else with a lot less congestion.
Yeah, it is busy. LA is crazy busy as well, like that, Maxie. On to the football game. The Vikings really banged up in the secondary, and they got more bad news. Jaron Curse listed as out by the Vikings today.
Yeah, and that's bigger than you think simply because of how depleted they are. Mackenzie Alexander, everybody knew, was going to be out probably, and they made that official this week. Last week they lost Mike Hughes. They brought in Marcus Sherrills, not necessarily to play safety, but more as a punt returner because they need somebody sure-handed back there, and he was great last week for the Vikings in terms of him bobbling. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you play that position, Steve. But he didn't bobble the ball. He didn't do anything that cause for concern, and he's got a gift for that. But he's not somebody that they're looking at playing in the secondary. So now you will see, obviously, Trey Waynes and Xavier Rhodes. Their number one draft picks are supposed to be good. Harrison Smith's the number one draft pick. He's supposed to be good. Anthony Harris, unsigned free agent, who's really blossomed for this team, had a big interception last week. Boyd could play a little bit, but I think Holton Hill is going to have to step up. He's been with the team parts of two seasons. He's been suspended as well. He's a real athletic kid from the University of Texas that they thought, they got him as a free agent because they had a coach on the staff that was familiar with him, Jerry Gray, and had coached him down in Texas and knew that he was, he's certainly a draftable talent that had some baggage, and certainly he's had that baggage, and he's been problematic in his first 2 years with the league. Nobody's ever questioned whether or not he had the ability to play football. Well, he might get his chance tomorrow because they may need him more than they would even like. You'll see Andrew Sandeo a lot back there. Obviously, he was with the Vikings, then went to Philadelphia, got cut this year. They brought him back, generally speaking, a safety, but they can bring him in to cover sometimes in the slot, and they did that last week against New Orleans. That's how you try to cover up for what are some real issues right now in the secondary. And they got away with it last week. Some of it's scheming. If you can get to the quarterback and make him make bad decisions, then it takes a lot of pressure off your defensive backs, but that'll be the goal tomorrow, is to try to get quick pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo and see if you can make him make bad decisions and take the pressure off your defensive back.
And Mike, turnovers always help. If they can turn them over, that's going to be a big thing. Because a lot's been made about Jimmy Garoppolo and the fact that he has no playoff experience and how that'll play in the game tomorrow.
I think that's important. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but he has, last year against the Vikings, he did not fare well. Harrison Smith was outstanding that day and led NFC Player of the Week, but it was the first game of the season. But certainly they rattled him early in that game, and that's at least, at minimum, that's a memory for him. Now, they've fortified some things on this team and figured out who they are, and they've got a real identity to them for sure. But I just think, you see this game and how it's played. I mean, last week Drew Brees had a tough time keeping his cool and his composure, given all that Mike Zimmer threw at him. You can only imagine what it's like for Garoppolo when he looks at the tape of the Saints and the Vikings and he sees all the different things that they hadn't shown all year that they showed yesterday. In the back of his mind, he's got to be thinking, what are they going to throw at me? What is it they're going to throw at me that I haven't seen before? And Mike Zimmer relishes that opportunity.
Yeah, and Mike, I've heard former players describe that. You get to this time of year, you got to give teams a new look. You got to bring new wrinkles to it because, they've got so much staff, so many people, all these players, it's all they do is study tape. So you got to throw something new at them.
Yeah, and it's got to work, you know, because
yep,
if it does,
that's right.
If you don't actually, you know, the problem with that always is if you haven't done it before, you may be the one that misfires.
Yep.
Now last
good
week,
point.
You're talking to Daniil Hunter this week, he said they, you know, the strip sack that they had on Drew Brees, he said they had been setting that up for a long time, and one of his teammates wanted to go. He wanted to go now, and Daniil said he just kept telling him, just wait. I'll tell you when we're going to do it. It's almost as if I know when it's going to, because they'd figured out how they were blocking them schematically, and he said, I know when we're going to go, and then he picked the right moment, obviously. They made the switch, they stunted into it, and they got the big sack. So it's that much of a cat and mouse game and a chess match at this level. And the one thing the Vikings have in their favor is a defensive unit that's played together so long, so they know they speak the same language.
Yeah, and you brought up a guy like Daniil Hunter. This kid, he's not a kid anymore. He's a veteran. He's really come into his own. I mean, he's really, you know, an elite player in the NFL. And they continue to say, when Mike Zimmer and some of the others talk, that this kid can still get better.
Yeah, I don't know how much bigger that upside can be, but he's certainly, you know, you talk about getting it right. When Rick Spielman drafted him out of LSU, he was young, underaged, and needed to grow into his body a little bit, but they saw the upside. And if you spend time with Daniil Hunter, he is a quiet, unassuming, humble guy, and he got the big contract, and it's just not like him. He's not boisterous. I can see what would be attractive. You got this piece of clay that you can mold into whatever it is that you want, and you know that he's going to listen. You know he's going to be attentive. You know that he realizes he's got a lot to learn, and he still feels that way, and that's one of the things that's really attractive about him. And then last week, of course, the guy that hadn't been playing all that well, the veteran Everson Griffin, had a great coming out party because he was outstanding. And I don't know if they can get that from him again this time, but he had kind of been a no-show for a few weeks, and last week he just had his way with New Orleans.
Mike Max joining us from the Bay Area, Vikes 49ers tomorrow, 3:35 Central Time. And it's going to be quite an atmosphere. Levi's Stadium has already hosted a Super Bowl. It is natural grass. But, Max, we did talk about weather earlier, and before we get into the Vikes offense and some of the challenges in the game, let's talk about that surface. Do you think that's overrated on the road, on grass, all of that at this point?
Oh boy, you know, that's a really good question, Steve, because the Vikings have just, I mean, for the history of their team, since they went to a dome, have not been real good outdoors on grass. And I'm trying to think this year, you know, they played terrible in Chicago, of course. They played well against the Chargers, and you know, obviously the last two losses were at home, but they were, you know, the Chicago game you can hardly count because that was a gimme. They did not play well in Green Bay outside on grass again, so I don't think it's sometimes you're just not built for it. They don't have, you know, they have some grass at their facility, but they don't practice on that this week because they were indoors the whole time because it's January, so they're indoors on their turf. So I don't, you know, you hate to make too much of it, but you got to say there's something there because the Vikings have certainly underperformed in those situations before.
Quick break. We have more with Mike Max from the Bay Area, Minnesota, San Francisco coming up tomorrow afternoon. By the way, our Purple pregame show tomorrow at 2:30, Henry Lake. Purple postgame tomorrow night following the game, Henry Lake, Jeff Diamond, your calls. And, of course, sandwiched in between, we'll have the Timberwolves and the Rockets from Houston with our pregame show beginning at 3:30. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. It is 7:16 here on Sports to the Max. Mike Max from the Bay Area continues in a moment.
Sports to the Max.
It is 7:20, quiet night on the local sports scene. Hockey, though, for Minnesota on the road. Now, the men got beat in an early game at Michigan State 4-1. They dropped the puck at 6 Eastern time. That one's already in the book. Final game of the series coming up tomorrow night. Meanwhile, Gopher women leading at St. Cloud State in game one of that weekend series, 2-1 in period number two. Mike Max joining us from the Bay Area. And Maxie, huge storyline this week turned out to be another injury for Adam Thielen, and no one has any idea how this went down. What's going on with Adam Thielen?
Well, I'm going to give you the latest that I saw, and this is with the naked eye. We were there when the Vikings landed, when they got to the hotel, and they got off the bus, and Adam Thielen looked just fine as he walked from the bus to the lobby. We're not allowed to interview or interact with players the day before the game like that, but he looked just fine as we watched him go, you know, from bus to the lobby for whatever it was going to be. He looked just fine. So, he wasn't running on it. He was walking in tennis shoes, but I thought it was at least a good sign for whatever it is that we can extrapolate out of that. He looked good.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer talked to the media on Thursday, Maxie, and I know you spend a ton of time out at TCO Performance Center. And generally, coaches aren't going to give out any information on injuries, but it was kind of mums the word on how it even happened. Apparently, during practice at some point in time, he got a cut that needed stitches.
Yeah, and that's a little bit scary when you have a cut that needs stitches. And how it happened, I don't know. For the life of me, I have no idea how that happened at a practice. I can't picture anything that would lead to you cutting your foot, you know, of all things, you know. There's a lot of things you can see that would happen, a sprained ankle, somebody steps on it, hurts your toe, whatever. But to cut a foot, I don't know how that could – I've been thinking about it. I don't know how that would happen. But that's what they're dealing with right now. And, you know, when you cut your foot, you know, a lot of times you get up the next day and it feels better, and sometimes it doesn't feel good. And I don't know what you can do beyond stitches, et cetera, to get it to, you know, and you put the padding in it and you hope that that's good enough.
Yeah, and he was certainly a huge part of the win in New Orleans. Some big catches, led the team in receptions and receiving yards, and of course that huge shot down the middle that got him to the 2-yard line in overtime, and ultimately Kirk Cousins hit Kyle Rudolph, so he played really well.
He did, and he's just, you know, they need him bad because you got Richard Sherman sitting there, and he, you know, he's going to have to take somebody. And so if he can take, if he doesn't have to guard Adam Thielen, then he can guard Diggs. And then you throw whoever else you want on B.C. Johnson, or if Laquon Treadwell would play, whoever it would be. That's not near the matchup issue that you have with a healthy Adam Thielen. So there's all kinds of reasons that you need Adam Thielen healthy, not just because of the balls he catches, but because of what he does to their defense and how he makes them respect you. So he is critical to this game plan, and that all comes back to what you can do to Dalvin Cook, because Dalvin Cook's going to be, you know, there's no question, you know, Mike Zimmer not hiding anything. He camouflages things on defense, but it's a pretty light veil on offense. We want to run the football. They fired an offensive coordinator last year, John DeFilippo, because he didn't run the football enough. That's who he wants the Vikings to be. He doesn't believe they can win without being that. So tomorrow they're going to line up and run the football. The only question is how many people are they going to be running against, and that will be dictated or predicated by how healthy Adam Thielen is.
Yeah, and Mike Dalvin Cook is, I mean, if you had to pick a most valuable player on this team, it's pretty clear it would be Dalvin Cook. I mean, he's just irreplaceable to this team.
Yeah, and Alexander Mattison is, you know, he was hurt too there at the end. It's nice to have both of them because, you know, Madison's a physical, strong back. He can also catch the ball, and had a nice visit with him the other day. And I don't know if you have the tape of it. Maybe you'll play that tonight. He's from California. So he's got the family and friends and his high school coach coming out. So this game means a lot to him. So, you know, Mike Boone is fine, you know, when you're playing the Bears at the end of the year, but not playoff football. You got to have your best. And Cook is, he's such a gamer, but he also cares so very little about what his numbers are at the end of the game. You know, Adrian Peterson was a great running back, and he cared a lot about where he ended up in the standings in terms of who did lead the league in rushing, and all in a good way. You know, he was obviously the best that Minnesota's ever seen. Cook is more about, you know, I want to touch the ball a lot because I want us to win. I'm not afraid to grind it out, do whatever we need to do. If you want to throw me the ball, throw me the ball. But he's not stuck on stats at all. He is really about what do I need to do.
Mike Max joining us. Kirk Cousins, can he win the big one? Well, he showed it a week ago on the big stage. Kirk Cousins performed well. He had spots this season where he played pretty well. Where does Kirk Cousins stand? Does he still have something to prove?
Well, I mean, if he does, Jimmy Garoppolo does, and, you know, who doesn't,
sure,
right? I mean, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers are sitting over there in another playoff game, and they are obviously they've got their ring, so they're a little bit different situation. But I don't think these guys look at it as prove something. I think they look at it as, here's the game plan, especially Kirk Cousins, because he's pretty programmed quarterback. He does what the game plan tells him to do. He's not going to freelance out there and make a lot of, you know, decisions on the fly. So he's really more about, you know, I'm going to do, here's my part in this. I'm going to fade back, and if there's somebody open and they're wearing a purple or a white jersey with purple, I'm going to throw them the football. That's about as far as he goes with it. He's not the kind like a Brett Favre that's going to, a riverboat gambler, I'm going to throw into a tight spot. He's much more programmed to, here's what the game plan says, here's my three reads, and here's my check down. My job is just to get to the ball the first person that's open through that, you know, through the, that's the way we do it. That's our progression. And that's much more who he is as a quarterback. So he functions more on what the other players do as opposed to just trying to win a game himself.
Yeah, and I think Kirk Cousins is about what I expected. You know, especially in pro football, look at, for instance, Tom Brady this year. Didn't have the weapons on the outside that he has in the past, getting a little bit long in the tooth, and Tom Brady looked ordinary. I mean, this is the ultimate team game, Mike, and you can't do it alone.
No, you need help, but you need to be the leader. You need to be, you know, you need to set the tone, create a culture, and all those things. But you know, he threw the ball to Hollins in the middle of the field, a rookie last week. Because he was open. Because that's where the ball should go based on what he saw. He didn't see a rookie, you know, wearing number 15. He just threw the ball there because that's what they did in practice, and that's where they tell him to put the ball. He didn't overthink it. It's the other player's job then to make the play once you get him the ball, and that's who he is. That's how he's programmed.
Kirk Cousins, Minnesota, what about this line? Do you think the players pay attention to the line or where it's set? I know Mike Zimmer played that up going into the Saints game, that we're not getting respect. The Vikings weren't in the video. No one thinks we can go there and win. I didn't hear as much of that this week in the lead up to the game, Mike.
Yeah, they're well aware. They're well aware that they're underdogs and they're, you know, in a positive way. You know, we hear this all the time in sports when, you know, nobody thinks we can win. Players kind of relish that and that kind of a challenge. So, you know, it's not like they say, well, we're 6.5-point underdogs as opposed to 4-point or 8-point. They just, all they need to know is they're underdogs and somebody doesn't believe that they're going to win. And that's enough for them to take a, you know, take a bite out of the apple on that that part of their psyche and say, okay, we'll show you, and we're just 53 guys and we're all going to be band together and all those things. So they're just fine with that. They kind of like it. I mean, Randy Moss, I remember in 1998, I mean, they're steamrolling everybody, right? I mean, it's not even close. And at the end of the year, I remember one of his sound bites was, you know, nobody believes we can win. Well, actually, Randy, everybody believes that you can win.
Right.
I think you're the best team in football, you know? But if just one person intimates at all that you're not good enough, they'll take that, especially the great ones, and use that, and use, you know, that'll be fuel, that'll be the anger. All that they need to hear is somebody said, oh, you might not win, and that's good enough for them to call themselves an underdog.
Now, Maxie, how much time do you have before you have to run?
Oh, I got another 15, easy.
All right, good. We're going to take a break. We'll get an update on the weather. We'll get more with Mike Max from the Bay Area. Vikings 49ers. We'll talk about this 49er team and what makes them tick. We'll get Mike's thoughts on that. It is Sports to the Max here on a Friday night. Steve Thompson in studio. Mike Max out in the Bay Area, and we'll continue with him coming up in a bit. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Sports to the Max.
It is 7:36 on a Friday night. Sports to the Max. Steve in studio, Mike Max from the Bay Area. Vikes Niners tomorrow. San Francisco favored by 7. Those are the latest odds I've seen. We've talked a lot about the purple, the injuries, particularly in the secondary. We've got an update on Adam Thielen. Meanwhile, for the 49ers, Mike, they're the number one overall seed. And even though Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have any playoff experience, the Niners have really struggled over the years. This is still a really good football team.
It is, and by all accounts, they're going to be very healthy tomorrow. They're bringing a couple of guys back that have been sitting, and that bye week does that for you, and they're at home. They've told me that it was the biggest crowd, the most tickets sold maybe in the history of Levi Stadium. In other words, they may surpass what they sold for the Super Bowl because they're now into standing room only in terms of the tickets and who's going to be there. So it's going to be a huge crowd. And obviously a lot of San Francisco, most of it being San Francisco 49ers. 49er fans. There's a fair, like I said, there's a party going on right here at the California Fan Club that I'll be attending here shortly to get some B-roll and some interviews and everything else. But it is going to be 49er red and gold. They've got the retro logo that they painted on the field, the one that they saw when Joe Montana was there. I was at I went to the Silicon Valley Auto Show today, Steve. The Silicon Valley Auto Show happened to be taking place right next door to the Vikings Hotel. So while we waited, we went next door as part of a big convention.
So what did you see? Something you like?
A DeLorean right off the top. I like that. From Back to the Future. Maseratis, Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces. Well, can you imagine the Silicon Valley Auto Show?
Yeah, I can imagine a few bucks in that part of the world.
Yeah, I didn't find any used vehicles, I can tell you that. But it was something, man. That is showtime. And, of course, they've got a group of people maybe in this area that can afford that. Because we really are right now. I'm in San Jose. We're in Silicon Valley. That's where it is. That's where Google and Apple and all that stuff exist. And, big part of our commerce, of course, nationwide. And they all sit side by side. Somebody told me what they do at these different companies is every campus has its own color bike. And so you can ride bike. Let's say that you've got to meet, you work at Google and you go over to Facebook to meet with them. You take one of your own bikes and then you may drop it off there. And then one of your coworkers may come out of a meeting with Facebook and they see that bike and they know what color it is. They can ride it back to their campus. They tell me that that's what goes on, among other things, in Silicon Valley with all these massive campuses and the way that they're built. They all kind of coexist through a code.
Well, and Max, you brought up earlier in the program the real estate and the kind of money that the high-end talent that work at these firms make kind of drive that. I mean, it's a crazy economy out there, and how much money the real estate is and how much money people get paid at these firms.
Yeah, I talked to a guy today, and he was looking at Rolls Royce because he said he had just sold his house for $975,000, and he had cleared it. I don't know if he had it paid off and it was just a windfall or what, but I said, so you sold your house. I said, well, how big a house was it? He said, 3-bedroom, 2-bath. That's $975,000, you know? It didn't sound like it was the biggest on the block or the, you know, but that gives you an idea of the going rate.
Well, it's true that way in Southern California. A friend of the family, she lived in San Diego for a long time, moved back home when her mom and dad weren't feeling well, and stayed put, got a job, works in the healthcare industry here in the Twin Cities, but kept her home in San Diego over all these years as a rental unit and rented it out and came out just fine and positive cash flow.
Oh, man, the appreciation on that thing?
Well,
if you can rent it for a while and just sit on it?
And she sold it, and that is her retirement, let me tell you. It was, and I've seen pictures of this house. It was a nice house in a nice neighborhood, but it's not anything where you're going to say, wow, that's something a movie star lives in. It was a nice home, but it wasn't anything that, you know, to write home about, and she came out pretty well on that deal.
Yeah, you know, and part of their point out here is, if you can afford to get in the game, once you're in the game, once you buy that house, the appreciation is off the charts, and so it's a wonderful investment if you can get to the point where you can afford to buy it. But they've got other issues here too: homelessness and people not wanting to be downtown because of all that goes on there. They got all kinds of issues in San Francisco right now. A woman last night was watching a story. She lives in a boat. And they said, why? She said, because it cost me $250,000, and to do anything else would cost me $1 million.
Huh. Now, you're not planning a move to the Bay Area anytime soon.
Oh, man, it's a nice place to visit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they coined that phrase, I think. And, lots of good eating places. San Jose is just kind of it's a blasé nothing town. There's a little downtown to it. There's a... some standard kind of chains and stuff like that. A few kind of landmark, I guess, restaurants and whatnot. And they've got the arena there. We were at last night where the Sharks played. They played the Blue Jackets last night. We were out there, so they got a little bit of that going for them. But overall, it's kind of a dead town where you've got kind of a nice looking building or restaurant next to something that's boarded up and waiting for a new tenant, things like that. And there's nothing special about San Jose.
Yeah, and as a hockey town goes, I think they really support the Sharks, though. They've done pretty well there.
Yeah, I think the Sharks have done well. I mean, whenever their franchise was its inception, I was a freelancer at the time, and I did a project. They sent me out to do a video on the San Jose Sharks coming to San Jose before they had a team. And
because it was the Gunn Brothers, wasn't it?
It was the Gunn Brothers, but that wasn't why I was involved in it. It was something else. We were working with the Blackhawks, and there was a connection there and all that stuff. And they brought Gordie Howe out to kind of help, and then we went to a mall where they had some artificial ice, and I can remember, you know, they do have an iconic logo there with the shark biting the hockey stick in half, you know? And I can remember meeting with the people out there and how much time they had put into that logo. And, you know, at the time I just thought, well, the logo is a logo, but you realize now, you know, you only get to brand yourself once as a new franchise. And if you do it right, those became really hot items, especially the first few years, because everybody fell in love with them, with the logo. And, you know, how much merchandise they sold simply by having what seemed kind of simple, but it just kind of took over the NHL there for a while in terms of merchandise sales.
Yeah, and a former Wild character, Brent Burns, has been a big star in San Jose for quite a while.
There.
Oh, they
some do. Jerseys there last night. Saw them, you know, people wearing jerseys for him. Pavelski was gone. Thornton, obviously, the big guns from their long run in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, yeah, Burns, he's really become a staple of that team and a big part of it. And he's become, you know, one of their, you know, kind of signature players on that team.
Now, Max, you've been in the Bay Area, and I understand you return Sunday, so you're going to be out there Saturday night. I would assume you'll be on Channel 4 a ton tomorrow.
Yeah, and if you need me at all during the day, give me a call.
Oh, for sure.
But, we'll be live at really just 10 o'clock because the game will be running up against our 5 and 6, or, you know, so all eyes will be on the game. And then afterwards, we'll have extensive coverage at 10 o'clock. And, you know, obviously based on how they do, et cetera, but we'll be all over it in the locker room. We will not ask for Kyle Rudolph's gloves. We're just going to be there to cover it.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Wasn't that a strange story?
That is one of the more bizarre things.
Who would have the guts to do something that stupid?
Max, you've been in the local media a long time. I've been in the local media a long time. I don't know any of the regulars in the local media that would ever do that. I can't imagine.
I know some that are on the periphery that would.
Sure.
But I don't know any of the mainstream people that do it every day that would ever think about something like that.
Well, yeah, even the part-time weekend guys. Like me, you know, wouldn't go there.
Yeah, I mean, the rules are the rules. And you know, talk about inappropriate. My gosh.
Yeah, that is a bizarre story. Now, I have one other one for you, and this is a big deal. You're going to be traveling. Dave Mona's in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'm going to work the sports huddle with Sid Hartman. I've done it a couple of times before. Any words of wisdom going into that on Sunday morning for me?
Thank you for making me laugh here at the end of a long week, Steve. I appreciate that. Yeah, have fun. And make sure that you call Sid tonight and say, Sid, what do you got lined up for Sunday? Because otherwise you might be surprised when you get in on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what's funny? We already dug into that. We've already started to dig into that for sure. For Sunday show. All right, Mike, always great. We'll visit with you tomorrow. Hopefully we can visit a little bit 2 o'clock Central Time following the news. Hopefully that works.
I'll be back next week with Ron Shera. Of course, the amicable outdoorsman, we call him. And I don't think this would be Ron's cup of tea here. There's a lot of traffic, and, you know, they're pretty hard to get to a fishing hole or a hunting spot here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it looks like with the Timberwolves on Monday, live outdoors with Ron Tuesday night.
Yeah, so said, you know, most people already know that, but we're delayed by just one night.
Yeah. All right, Mike. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate you, buddy.
All right, there he is, Mike Max from the Bay Area. Vikes and Niners tomorrow. San Francisco favored by 7 points. And if you get a look at the injury report, as Mike pointed out, the 49ers, just two guys questionable, Dee Ford and Kentavious Street, both defensive linemen. Meanwhile, for the Vikes, Jaron Kearse now listed as out. Chris McKenzie Alexander with the knee having surgery. Adam Thielen questionable, but Mike Mack saw him get off the bus, head into the hotel, seemed to be fine. We'll find out for sure tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.